European firms demand a response to US green subsidies. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Yes, as we've mentioned before, a US bill aimed at reducing inflation at home has ended up causing some pretty seismic waves abroad. President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act pledged a wide range of tax breaks and financial incentives for firms developing and building green tech in the US. But many allies have been crying foul, with car makers to wind turbine manufacturers fearing the bill makes their products uncompetitive, and they want their governments to respond. One of those is Dietlef Neuhaus. He's the chief executive of SolarWatt, a solar panel manufacturer in Dresden, Germany, where our BBC team are this week, including my colleague Liana Byrne.
We're in the east of Germany. We're close to the Polish and the Czech border, and our thermals are on because it's a drizzly day. It's quite cold. And I guess just to paint a bit of a picture here for you, where I am is in the middle of this beautiful Baroque style square with those old buildings with the ornate details and, you know, those tall five-story buildings that have the red roofs and the painted yellow below. It's very European, basically. But that's the center of the city. It's kind of an older feel. Outside is a little different with offices because it's an area well known for its manufacturing, big on car manufacturing and metal production. And I paid a visit to one of the biggest green energy companies in Saxony, SolarWatt. Dietlef Neuhaus, the chief executive there, is not a fan of the US's Inflation Reduction Act.
Okay, so we are since 30 years in the business and producing solar watt panels and battery storages and energy management systems, so hardware and software.
You mentioned you were hoping to see more green energy companies in Europe. Do you think there needs to be green energy incentives in Europe to counter Biden's Inflation Reduction Act that gives these big tax breaks to green energy companies in the US?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this thing, what is now in place in the USA, has already caused a lot of money removed from Europe to the USA. And we know companies who had planned to build factories in Europe or in Germany, and they are building those factories now in America. These schemes are 6-7 times higher than what we here have. And a second thing, they are quick. So it's concurrently to Europe and Germany, very uncomplicated to get what you want. And here you have a lot of bureaucracy. So this is something which is, I would say, dangerous.
There are reports that there's a contingent looking for green energy companies to come over. Have you been approached at all?
Yes. Those things are, let's say, a bit confidential, but we got approached basically every month from different companies, by the way, even from Chinese companies. But at the moment, we have no plans to do such a thing. We believe that we have built in the last years a strong position, but there must be value for this company. And value means either new markets, new technology, or other additional benefits for us.
Semiconductors are one of the big business issues of our time. Where we make them? How do we produce enough of them? How do we make sure data processed by them is secure? Well, US firm Global Foundries is a giant of the sector and is wrestling with all of those issues. As the BBC's Alex Bell found out at their plant on the outskirts of Dresden.
I've never seen anything remotely like this before. As far as the eye can see, there are gigantic buzzing white machines, pipes, things which I have not the faintest idea of how they work, but I can tell you this is one complex operation.
My name is Jens Draves. I'm Director of Communications Government Relations for Global Foundries in Europe. We have ramped our production significantly, more than doubled over the course of 2 years.
But global demand for semiconductors is still way ahead of supply. There's this warning, isn't there, that car production could fall by 20%. So when will supply catch up?
I think it always will be somewhat out of kilter. But what we see is a long-term trend that the industry will double in size by revenue between now and 2030. So the industry is close to $600 billion revenue a year, probably will go up to $1 trillion in 2030. And that's not because the prices are going up, that's because more chips will need to be built and put into devices.
Security, though, is a key issue, and in particular, Western governments are concerned about China's role in the semiconductor supply chain. Just this week, former UK diplomat Charles Parton had a new warning in his academic paper about the dangers of Chinese-made cellular IoT modules, things being built into devices like smart speakers, thermostats, and even security systems.
They're usually much smaller than 5 centimeters, and they're embedded with sensors. They've got software, they've got antennae, they've got processors. They communicate with each other, and they form a mesh, and they exchange and process vast amounts of data. What worries me is two things. One is an enormous amount of data that is egressing and potentially going back to China. And secondly, their aim is to get a monopoly on the market. And once you've done that, then we are dependent upon them, and they have considerable leverage on us on policies that are outside the technical area.
Well, Alex put some of those concerns to Jens Drafs of GlobalFoundries.
I understand those concerns. I think the more ubiquitous chips become in all the gadgets that we use every day. So if you pay with your phone, you pay with your watch, you want to make sure that this is a really trustworthy chip that makes these kind of transactions, and that somebody cannot sort of remotely access it play with your banking information. I mean, all of us have our account on our cell phone, and it's very convenient, but then of course you need to make sure that the chips and the technology that makes all these amazing things possible, that is indeed trustworthy. So trustworthiness of components is a big issue in Europe, in the US.
Jens Drafs of GlobalFoundries speaking to the BBC's Alex Bell in Dresden, East Germany there, as part of our special report for you today. Big thanks too for extra production from Izzy Greenfield in Dresden. Our team here have been Katie Barnfield, and our editor has been Joe Critcher, and you've been listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.